Welcome to Parents Perspective. Today, in a departure from our usual format, we are hosting a very special group of guests. Their insights will be helpful to parents and to all adults working with or concerned about middle school-aged kids. Our experts will talk with us about what they know about substance abuse among middle schoolers. I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. With us today are four students, Noah, who's in sixth grade.
I'm Noah.
Zach, who's in seventh grade.
Hi, I'm Zach.
Stephanie, who's in eighth grade.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And Renee, who is also in eighth grade.
Hi, I'm Renee.
Welcome to all of you. Have you ever been approached to try alcoholic drinks and or drugs?
No, not really.
Me neither, but if I did, I would just use the debug, except skip the first rule.
We don't know those rules.
What's a debug?
Debug is basically, first rule is ignore, second rule is walk away, third is, I think, like, talk friendly, then fourth is talk firmly, then fifth is get an adult. So I just start with the second and go there.
Which is walk away?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't, but I know a lot of friends that have and...
Have been approached.
That have been approached, okay. And have tried it. Mm-hmm.
No one's, like, deliberately came up to me and said, hey, you want to try whatever? But it's, like, I've been around people who have, and but no one's, like, you know, how they do in, like, TV shows and, like, stuff where they say someone walks up to you and then starts asking you if you want to try it or to try whatever substance they're talking about. So, no, I haven't been.
But you all seem to be aware that there's stuff around that you could try if you wanted to.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In my school, I see a lot of kids smoking in the back of the school after school.
I don't really see any kids smoking at my school. That's probably because the parents are kind of strict because it's a private school, so. Mm-hmm.
Is there a place, Zach, you said you see people smoking in the back of your school. Is there a place reserved for kids who want to smoke, or they just sort of sneak out and there's a little spot that they use?
Well, usually there's an old baseball field, and they usually go there.
How do the other kids react to these kids who are smoking?
Most kids really don't care. As long as it's not them, they don't really care what one of their friends does.
They're not seen as the cooler kids or anything else?
No.
Do you have friends or acquaintances who sort of are regularly on this business of doing something, you know, dealing with a substance or... alcohol or any of that?
I don't. None of my friends smoke or drink or any substance.
Do you think it's sort of a self-selecting group? You've picked friends who aren't involved?
Kind of, yeah.
None of my friends smoke either or drink or anything like that. I didn't, like, select them because I didn't know who smoked or not because I just came to the school this year, so I'm kind of new.
I've been at my school for 10 years, so... I know I've known these kids for a really long time, and none of my close friends drink or smoke, but there are kids in our grade that do, but not usually on a regular basis.
Do you have any idea how or where?
Usually their parents have things, and so if their parents leave the house or it's in their basement or something.
If it's accessible, they'll get into it.
Yeah, exactly.
Not really so much of my friends do. I know some people have, especially I have older friends who are like in high school.
Not, they didn't start until high school, as far as you know?
No, I don't think so. Not until high school. But acquaintances, if that's what you're talking about, too. Like, not many of my friends, but acquaintances. Since my school is really diverse, a whole lot of people I know who not, like, my really, really close friends, but people who I'm not, like, on bad terms with ever who use alcohol or drugs.
And again, sort of like what Stephanie said, if the parents aren't around, you can do it in their houses.
Mm-hmm. When you visit friends... are their parents generally at home?
When I go to a friend's house, their parents are never home.
Why is that?
Jobs. A lot of my friends have older siblings, and they're with them somewhere else.
And it's okay with both your parents and their parents if you congregate at their house?
It's okay with my parents and most of my other friends' parents, but most of the time we just play outside.
I usually don't go over to my friend's house. They just come over to my house. But my parents are usually there, and if they're not there, my brother's there.
Is your brother older?
Yeah, he's 15. Mm-hmm. And, like, say I went to go see a movie with some of my friends, and then we wanted to come to my house, but my parents aren't there. We can't go inside, but, like, I can get the basketball, and we can play basketball.
So that's a rule at your house. You can play outside with your friends if your parents aren't there.
Yeah.
Usually my parents are home, but if they're not, I think they trust me enough that they know that I'm not going to do anything stupid, so.
So it's okay. You can have some friends over.
Yeah. Well, I usually don't have two or three. That's...
What about if you go to another friend's house? Suppose you're Saturday night, friends are getting together at Joe's house or whoever, somebody's house. Is it okay if you go there even if his parents aren't home?
Well, they usually like to know where I'm going, like who I'm going to be with. So as long as they know who I'm with, I mean, they pick us up. And so if we've been doing something stupid, they're going to know. So it's not like we can just get away with anything we want to.
It's a good point, I guess, because you're not driving yet. So you are being picked up and dropped off by parents.
Most of the houses I go to are in, like, walking distance to my house. So it's not as big of a deal. It's not like I, like, have to plan out where I'm going. Like, say, you know, have the parents go, can we have a play date or whatever? So it's not, like, all planned out. So it differs. It's sometimes parents are home, sometimes they aren't. But they know whether or not a parent is home or not.
Do you think it would make a difference in what people do if parents were home at people's houses?
Well, I mean, it kind of depends on the friend. Like, I mean, for me, let's say I had a friend who does stuff and his parents weren't home. I would, like, tell him to stop and try to convince him. And, like, if he won't stop, I just call my parents and, like, ask them to pick me up. And then I tell them and then they call my friend's parents and then... I don't know what happens from there.
But you definitely would call on an adult.
Yeah.
Me and my friends, we always act different when there's a parent there.
And how do you act different?
Just kind of don't talk as much. Because, I mean, anything we say, a parent's going to come back later and make fun of us or something for it.
That sounds like the thing that police officers used to tell criminals, anything you may say could be used against you.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Do you think that kids are more likely to get into their parents' bar or medicine cabinet or something to explore things if the parents are not around?
Yeah.
They're not home.
Well, I mean, my brother had a party once, and, like, my dad was upstairs, and my parents hid all the beer and wine so they wouldn't get to it. But this one kid, like, went looking around and found one beer bottle. But my brother is like me, or I'm like him. He like ran upstairs and told my dad or something. And like he like never came back to the house.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on substance abuse among middle schoolers.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. Today, we're talking with a group of young guests about substance abuse among middle school-aged kids.
If you could give adults advice about middle schoolers and substance abuse, what kind of advice would you give them?
I'm probably gonna hate myself for saying this, but kind of like set some guidelines, because the parent doesn't really care about what their child does, then their child's gonna feel that they can do anything they want and their parents really won't care. But if the parent really sets some boundaries, then a kid might stop and think before they do something.
I would say, tell your kid what these things can do to you. Like, I mean, I've seen a lot of movies and I've seen a lot of commercials, and I just, like, think about the commercials and, like, the why do you think smoking isn't stupid thing. Like, there's this one commercial where this woman ran around and started licking everything, like trash can lids, a fly swatter that was in the trash can.
Sounds gross.
Yeah, and then it said, don't you think smoking is just as disgusting? And so that made me think about it. I mean, I wouldn't smoke anyway because it can give you lung cancer and stuff. And it's bad.
For parents, just know your kid and, like, know what they're willing to do. And if they're really adventurous and want to try things, then make sure that they know your opinion on drinking and know if you think it's bad. But if your kid's not too adventurous, then talk to them, but don't be too forceful. Because if you know that they're not going to try something, then you don't need to. And if you have older siblings like I do, know from their experiences. Like, if you have someone that doesn't drink, know their reasons why. And if you have a sibling that does drink, know why they want to drink.
I think what's really important is that instead of, like he said, setting guidelines, I think one of the best ways to handle the whole issue is, for like example in my family, my parents, it's not like they like sit down strict rules and like talk to me from, it's like, it's, we're really open, so it's not like a big deal for me to talk about anything. I think that's actually really important, the way if you bring up your child and like just having it be like really open and being able to talk about things without getting uncomfortable.
In other words, they're not judgmental. You can talk about anything.
So, and also rationality. They're like, they. It's really easy for me to talk to them and not be like nervous or scared or like know that they'll understand what I'm talking about. So I think one of the biggest deals is you can't necessarily like put an opinion in the way people think into someone else's mind. It's really like I have some friends who are willing to take more like different risks and do different things and have different morals about different things, and they've come upon those from their own mind and stuff. It's not necessarily what the parents have done. Even if you do set guidelines and tell them what they can do and what they can't do, I don't think that necessarily works all the time, that you need to make sure that it's open and that try to let them know how you feel about it as best as you can, but also be rational and, like, understand what they're talking about. And
in large numbers of homes, there's alcohol. Parents have company. They have parties. They serve wine or they serve mixed drinks or they have beer. And I just wonder how you feel about that.
Well, to back up a bit, one of the reasons why I think smoking is really stupid is because when I was 6, my grandfather died because he started smoking at 17.
Did he have lung cancer?
Yeah, and my mom was, like, really angry because, I mean, 17 and they didn't do anything about it. That's why I don't want to smoke. With the, wine stuff and... My parents have parties like that all the time. Occasionally, I, like, ask them if I can have a sip just to see how I like it. I really don't like... Beer has no taste, and wine is too sweet.
I do the same.
Yeah, so, I mean, in my opinion, it's okay to drink, but not that much. And if you drink a lot, you should have a designated driver.
Is it okay to drink at your age?
No.
At your parents' age?
Yeah, like at 21 and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think that if kids shouldn't drink or smoke, then adults shouldn't drink or smoke.
So that's a bad example.
Yeah, it's bad influence.
Yeah. Do you agree?
I think it's a bad influence, but for when you have wine and beer and alcohol in the house, I think when it's attainable, that's when it becomes a problem. But just having it in the house and your kids see you drink, I don't think that's a problem. Because I think having them be able to get it is a problem. So I think that's the difference.
But in other words, you don't have any problems with your parents having guests and serving them alcohol or anything?
I can get alcohol. Like, I mean, I can reach where all the wine is, but I just don't because, I mean, I know that I'm not supposed to. So I just, like, know not to do it. And I, like, asked my dad about, like, red wine. Like, well, I have a great-grandma who's turning 101 in June.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, why is she so healthy? And my dad said that if you drink red wine, I mean, not too much, but it's, like, it helps you somehow. I can't remember, like, blood cells or something. I can't remember, but so she drank, like, red wine occasionally, but not all the time. So, yeah, wine is helpful unless you drink too much.
It's a good ad for the winemakers, isn't it?
Well, my parents usually don't have parties. I don't like the party type, but a lot of my friends, their parents do. And so there is alcohol. It's not like they're running around drunk or anything, but, well, I'm sure some people do, but it's not, like, to an excess where we're all, like, freaked out and stuff. Actually, one of my friends, she's not my close friend, she, her mom was at a party, and I think she has some issue with alcohol, but, and I know, it, I can't, I don't really have experience, but for my other friends, I know it actually doesn't affect them. It hurts them, like, emotionally. Like, I don't think it makes them want to do it more. It makes them want to less because they see, like, how their parents act, like, kind of ridiculous at, like, because of they're under the influence of it, whatever. And it's not like they're doing something horrible. They're just kind of acting like it's just weird for them to see their parents like that.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on substance abuse among middle schoolers.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $10 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. Today, we're talking with a group of young guests about substance abuse among middle school-aged kids.
What kinds of pressures, if any, have each of you felt about trying something that you know is most likely a no-no?
Just the thought that some friends might think it's cool. But I've kind of stopped feeling that way. I started when I was in sixth grade. Started feeling like if I did some cool thing, then everyone would think I'm cool or something. But now I just kind of want to stay away from drugs.
Occasionally I want to, like, try just a little bit of wine or beer just to see if I like it for future reference. But I mean, my parents also told me that my taste buds change, so it doesn't really help. So I haven't tried beer or wine in a while, and drugs I just find really stupid, so, like, I just don't even want to go there.
I think you're pressured into using drugs and alcohol more as you get older and once you're in 9th or 10th grade, because for me, you switch schools, and so you're with older kids, and when you're in the middle school, you're with younger kids, and so younger kids aren't going to try drugs and alcohol, but as you get older, you will. So I think there are more pressures as you get older.
The kids whom you know who are in middle school who are doing drugs, what kinds of pressures do you think were brought to bear on them?
I think they have most of them have older friends, and so when they're with them, they think it's the right thing to do or that's what they should be doing, and so I think that's what it is.
I don't feel pressured, and I don't know of any people who do feel pressured, same as, like, how they put on, like, TV or books or whatever, saying, like, you know, stay away from peer pressure. I don't think that, like, people say, oh, you'll be cool if you do this, like, I've never heard of anyone doing something just because they felt like it'd be cool or they wanted to, like, fit in or whatever. And neither for me. I don't really feel like if I were to do anything, I wouldn't be because of the need to be cool or to fit in.
Do you know what steroids are? Do you know anybody who's interested in using steroids?
I don't know anyone interested in taking steroids, but I do know what they are.
Same with me.
Me too.
Yeah. I know that, but I've never heard of anyone using them.
Yeah.
Actually, I think my PE teacher does, but I don't know.
Wait, I have a question. Don't baseball players? Okay.
Baseball people.
I have a question for them.
Okay. The baseball players?
Yes.
Okay.
you want to be strong for baseball when it's basically only used for speed and momentum. I mean, you don't need that much muscle in your arm to swing a bat and hit the ball. And also, if you want to be that strong and you actually do a sport, why can't you just work out? Because, I mean, you're not lazy, so you just, instead of using steroids, you just work out, and so you get stronger, even if it takes more time. But, I mean, if you're that energetic to be in a, like, national sport, then what's the point of using steroids when you just can, like, stop watching TV and start lifting weights?
How do you all feel about advertising? I think it was Noah who talked about some of the advertising that you were seeing. Do you think that advertising is responsible for some of the pressures people feel, people of your age range feel, to use alcohol or drugs?
Well, I mean, I can't really talk about middle schoolers, but for adults, the commercials for, like, all this beer, it says drink responsibly at the end, and in magazines, there's always this general whatever, I can't remember his name, but...
Surgeon General.
Yeah. And it says, like, smoke at your own risk. You cannot sue us for you getting lung cancer because we told you that you can get lung cancer. I like those.
So you think the warnings are important in the ads?
Yeah, but I mean, not many people pay attention to the warnings for the smoking ads. They always, like, get really cool-looking people to have a cigarette in their mouth. And, like a couple people said, they might think that it's cool to smoke because a cool guy who looks cool is smoking.
I know in magazines you see lots of vodka ads, and I think that when people see them, they just think about alcohol more, and so I think that adds to, like, why someone that's using alcohol, they just, it's on their mind more, because when you're flipping through a magazine and you see the advertisements, it just keeps it on your mind, I guess.
It makes you wonder about it, do you think? I mean, what would the effects be if I tried them?
Yeah, I guess so. I think people, since we learn about it in school, especially in health class, we have Nikki unit on that, and we go over what different ads are trying to make you think. It doesn't have an influence on me or other people, or a lot of the people, because I don't think you can obviously tell what they're trying to do. So it's not like when I see an ad, say, oh well, if they look so cool that, you know, I want to go and do it. It doesn't have an effect on me, even though you can tell.
You're basically saying that if you evaluate the things that you're seeing, the commercials, the ads that you're seeing, if you talk about them with somebody, they have less effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
So you would encourage adults to talk about them with their kids?
Well, I don't think that's going to work. You know, some adult taking something and say, see, look, they're just trying to make you think that way. It's not really true. But I guess in health class, since you have to do that, the teacher, I think it's good that they do that in school and they let you know what they're trying to do. But I don't think parents should necessarily go up to them and start talking to them about ads and telling them not to do it, because the ads, even the ad says that it will make you be cool or whatever.
So yeah. School or outsiders?
Yeah, I think it's more effective when someone in school talks about it rather than your parents. I think, well, only on that subject. I think it's important for parents to be open with you about stuff like that, but I think kids, it'll be more annoying to them, like, to have, like, their parent come up to them and say, this is why you shouldn't do it, because even though this ad is telling you that you'll be cool, I don't think you should do it, because it's just dumb. Like, I wouldn't want to necessarily spend time with my mom talking about ads and stuff.
If my mom or dad came up to me and started talking about drugs, and I just think it was annoying, I'd definitely agree and say if I heard it from a friend, it would make me think a lot more.
How do you think your own parents or guardians feel about your possibly using alcohol and or drugs underage?
Well, I tell both my parents and my babysitter that I really think smoking is and drinking too much is really stupid, so I don't think that they are that worried because, I mean, they know that I think a lot.
I don't really know what my parents think because when I'm afraid to kind of tell them things because if I tell them that in school, let's say we were playing dodgeball in gym and I was hit with a dodgeball, I mean, they do something like call the kid's parents. So I can't really tell them that much.
But do you think that they have feelings about whether you use alcohol or drugs?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do. I just don't know what they are.
I also don't really know my parents' view on the matter, but I think all parents are worried about their kids and are worried that if they try something that it could really harm them. And so I think that's always in someone's mind, like in the back of their mind, knowing that their parents are like, what if they do this? Like, what could happen to them? Or what if they were drunk, like what if they crashed into a tree or something? I think that's always in your mind, and I think you're always worried about that. But I think they know that kids are going to try things and are going to experiment, so I think they're aware of that.
Well, I know how my parents feel about drug use or alcohol use because they talk about it with me. So it's not, but again, it's like open. It's not like they say, this is how we feel and this is why we don't think you should do it. It's more open. So like, you know how if you talk to one of your friends or you know how they feel about certain subjects, like about politics or about just different things, you know how they feel about everything. So I do know my parents' perspective, I mean, yeah, and how they would feel if I were using drugs or alcohol. And also with other, like, they'll talk about, like, different experiences that they have with their parents or with my brother and stuff, so I know how they feel about everything.
We have to thank all four of you, Renee, Stephanie, Noah, and Zach, for being with us and letting us know and all the adult listeners know your feelings about these important subjects. So we're very grateful for you to be with us. Thank you. Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and please spell anything that's not obvious. This is show 254, so please mention that when you call. And if you can, tell us what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program is brought to you by generous support from the Montgomery County Under 21 Activities Fund in Montgomery County, Maryland. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.